welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. Is it sunny in California?
It is sunny in California. It's always sunny in California, but the days are short and that affects, I think, my mood, but also my productivity in terms of what I can get done. You've chosen a poem that touches on this a little bit, published in JAGS, the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. It addresses this issue that we've talked about of cognitive impairment. I'm about to point out that it's something that that primary care docs do a pretty poor job at diagnosing. We know that impairment of a cognitive nature can affect all kinds of behaviors, from learning and memory acquisition to language, executive function, attention, perceptual, motor, social interactions, et cetera, et cetera. The deficits to be called a cognitive impairment must represent, obviously, a decline from previous levels of function. Some moron like me, who's been a moron his whole life, you can't say it's a cognitive impairment. It's just the way I am. It also has to be severe enough to interfere with daily function and independence. So detecting cognitive impairment is very something that comes through our office doors very commonly. In our day-to-day practice, one study suggests that in a primary care practice, one out of 40 patients has some sort of cognitive impairment. One study found that the diagnosis was missed in 21% of patients in a general medical ward in a hospital, while 20% of non-demented patients were misjudged as being demented. So we're neither sensitive nor specific with our diagnosis. Patients with dementia have lots of problems retaining new information, handling complex tasks, reasoning, spatial abilities, language, behavior. There are an endless number of medications and treatments that are touted as being beneficial for cognitive impairment. Today, our poem focuses on one treatment that is not so typically used. We know that patients with winter depression, sometimes associated with deprivation of light, when you give them bright light therapy, they often respond to that therapy, often within 1 to 4 weeks of starting treatment. So the question is, could light therapy help in treating people with cognitive impairments? The poem you've chosen comes from JAGS, as I mentioned. It starts on page 2227, and it attempts to answer the question, does light therapy improve sleep quality, depression, and behavioral problems in elderly patients who have been accurately diagnosed with cognitive impairment? Mark.
Yeah, this is a nice study, something I had never thought about. We've all, you know, as you said, talked about light therapy for seasonal affective disorder, but this looked specifically at light therapy in adults with cognitive impairment, older adults with cognitive impairment. And they did it was a well-done meta-analysis. They did all the usual things where they had two authors look at each study, abstract the data, evaluate the quality, and look for the risk of bias in each study. We talk about risk of bias a lot in meta-analysis, and that's, you know, did they design the study in such a way as to avoid bias? So the things they look for in that are concealment of allocation. So was no one able to affect which patient got the intervention and which one got the control? There's no chance of rigging or cheating in the study, if you will. Blinding or masking. One of the problems with these studies was there really wasn't a good way to mask people to the intervention. But you can potentially mask the people evaluating the outcomes to which patients got light and which didn't. So it's a well-done meta-analysis. They ultimately found 9 trials with a total of 416 patients. So a bunch of smaller studies. There was a lot of heterogeneity between studies. There were different degrees of cognitive impairment based on the mini mental state test, different intensities of light ranging from, and I don't know what a lux is, maybe you know what a lux is, 210 lux to 10,000 lux, which seems like a lot of lux. And different duration of therapy, anywhere from 1 to 10 weeks. The average was 5 weeks of light therapy. The control groups were typically getting average strength indoor light as the comparison. One study used no specific light as a control. So none of them were high methodologic quality, mainly because of these problems with masking. But They pooled data from five studies that looked at behavioral disturbances, and they found a moderate improvement in behavioral disturbances. Six studies looked at sleep quality, and they saw small improvements in sleep quality. And then finally, there were five studies that looked at depression, and there were moderate improvements in depression. In no case was there evidence of publication bias, and that's important when you have a bunch of smaller studies. Were the small studies that didn't find a benefit not getting published? And they did not find any evidence of that. So bottom line, this was a meta-analysis, elderly patients with cognitive impairment, that light therapy has moderate improvements in behavioral disturbance, depression, and small improvements in sleep quality. So it's an emerging literature. I think they didn't find harms. Most of the studies didn't do great reporting of potential harms. And there's still questions about just how much and how long you have to do this therapy, but it's certainly something to consider for our older cognitively impaired patients, and seems like a reasonably safe intervention to try.
Yeah, I know. I think it sounds very interesting. You know, perhaps the devil's in the details in terms of what type of light intensity they need. A lux, by the way, is the standard unit of luminance. It is measured per unit area, one lumen per square meter. Now, if that isn't particularly helpful, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what a lumen is and how you measure a lumen per square meter. But, you know, with all of those lux, as you say, I mean, it's just going to look like a, you know, the Saturday Night Live set with all these bright lights, or can you just set up something in the corner?
Yeah, I have no sense of what that would look like. What 10,000 lux seems high, but I don't know that, you know, I don't know if 200 is basically barely detectable. I don't know. Yeah. But that's something that we need to learn more about for our patients, I think, so that we can advise them on that.
And this study was funded by the electric companies.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only kidding. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.